Dr. Zhao is Chancellor Emeritus and the James B. Duke Professor of Medicine at Duke University, past president and CEO of their university health system, and previously professor at both Harvard and Stanford. He brings fabulous academic credentials. He has made an enormous impact on the practice of medicine through his research in cardiovascular medicine and genetics. But Dr. Zhao is also an innovator in the field of healthcare. He is very experienced with leading healthcare innovation projects at Duke, such as the Duke Translational Medicine Institute, the Duke Global Health Initiative, and their joint graduate medical school with Singapore National University. He has been a member of the Institute of Medicine and its council over the years, a member of the advisory committee to the director of the National Institutes of Health, as well as chair of a number of other NIH committees. Currently, he's a member of the board of directors of the Singapore Health System, the expert board of the Imperial College Health Partners UK, and the International Advisory Board of the Biomedical Science Council of Singapore. Welcome to the podium, Dr. Zhao.
Well, good morning. For me, it's a great pleasure to be here. And when I was asked if I would come to this meeting, I said, absolutely, because you're such an important part of the health community that certainly we can never reach the goal of a healthy nation without you. So I want to make sure you understand that the Institute of Medicine represents broadly all the constituents, all of which care about the same thing, which is making this a healthier country. So as I come to this meeting, I see thousands and thousands of people. I was just at the American Heart Association, and because they always brag about 10, 20,000 people, well, I think you're pretty close. Maybe I'll number them. So for me, it's such an opportunity, particularly to tell you about this initiative that IOMs have been involved with, but perhaps even more broadly, what I would love to see that we do at IOM, and how we can all work together in partnership to create a healthier America. So I became the president of IOM in July, and what a privilege, because as you know, it's an organization that is a trusted advisor in this nation in the area of health and medicine. And so when I view my role at IOM, I see the culmination of a lot of things in my life that I've been involved with, starting my journey in China, being born there, being an immigrant here, and being involved as a physician scientist, an administrator leader, and of course, very much to me, a community worker, certainly in the Durham community of North Carolina. So now most of you may or may not know much about IOM, so what I thought I'd do is just take a minute and indulge me in telling about who we are and what we do. First, we are the health arm of the National Academy of Sciences, and believe it or not, it was chartered in 1863 and was founded by U.S. Congress and Abraham Lincoln, signed into law that we become an independent organization which advises the government in important matters of science and arts as well. And if you look at the quotation here in the charter, it says, "The Academy shall, whenever called upon by any department of government, investigate, examine, and report on any subjects of science or art, and shall receive no compensation whatsoever for service done for government." We know that well, right? But importantly, over the years, it's become three academies: Academy of Science, Engineering, and Medicine, Institute of Medicine. And so we're very proud of that. We're now in 44 years of existence. And what we do is to give guidance and advice not only to the government, but also to the nation, and now globally as well. So often we have mandates from Congress, mandates from CMS, from CDC and others. For example, we're working right now in the background on Ebola. And in terms of working on specific questions that they feel an independent entity should be able to tackle, these days, of course, what you want is evidence-based, independent, neutral advice, non-political, about very difficult issues that we all face in this nation. That's what we do. That being said, that's about 60% of our work. We do reports, consensus study, we do roundtables, and certainly we have, under Rose Martinez's leadership, a board on population and public health, that in fact we have roundtables on health equity, health and literacy, population, a board roundtable of population health, on environmental health sciences, and we look at many issues, tobacco, many others. And I'll talk to you a little bit about this. But also, we also do work related to foundations and work that we self-initiate, because certainly it's my belief that we to serve the nation, that means that we serve everybody, not just the government who's supposed to serve the nation, but also we can do initiatives. And many of you may or may not have seen our recent report of end-of-life care, something that nobody would tackle politically, but we feel we must do so. We're now partnering with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. We've worked with them for many, many years. And in their effort on culture of health, we certainly look forward to working with them as we finalize some of our understanding. So I want to show you, therefore, the studies that we've done and how the information, how we've influenced your field, and this case particularly related to nutrition and, you know, others. For example, what you can see is our studies have influenced what and how information displayed in nutrition labels, how they have helped to change school lunch policies. Our studies have contributed to reduction in advertising of unhealthy foods and beverages to children. And we've taken our charge to American Health Counselor very, very seriously. We will make sure that our recommendations are grounded in the strongest available evidence. Because, you know, these days, there's a lot of opinion, a lot of hype. And nothing is going to work unless your decision and recommendation is based on evidence, scientific evidence. That's what we do. And that's what we'd like to continue working with you in being able to be that advisor to the government on behalf of you, of what we can say based on evidence that we should be doing and having the right policy for this country. So, as I said, we do have all these roundtables, and what are they? They convene people with different sectors. So when you hear President-elect Shirika talk about public-private partnership, we strongly believe that the solution to many issues is to engage everybody who matters around the table, so that it's not polarized on one side or the other, but people coming together to say, we may have our differences, but how do we resolve our issues? How do we move forward for the same reason? And you're going to hear some of our corporate friends who in fact have the same interest in not only enabling a healthier workplace, but also a healthier country. And we should all work together, but recognizing we have differences too. And we are very conscious about conflict of interest, many issues, but there are so much opportunity. So I want to tell you about our booth, which is here at Expo, booth number 1710. Don't all of you write it down now. 1710, got it? Come by and see us. And we have a chance to win. You can even win one of our IOM reports. How's that? All right. So what I want to talk to you about today is the challenge ahead of us. And all of you know that this is an unprecedented time for our nation, certainly for my institute. We face some of the most pressing health problems of our lifetime, NCDs. You look at the rate of preventable disease, diabetes, heart disease, obesity. I'm a cardiologist, so I've worked many years in hypertension, and I know this well. And the cost of treating them, of course, is escalating, and it's crippling not just the country, but individual. When I was working really at Duke, I got very involved with the community because it's a small community. And I still go back there. This week I was there for 2 days working on behalf of community initiative. And when you meet the people on the ground, you really realize how much challenge and people are facing and struggling. And this is what we're here for. People who are in policy need to have their feet on the ground to understand what in fact are the issues so that we can make the right ones. So, as someone who spent a career in health and in science, both as a physician, as you heard, I was the chancellor of Duke University and the CEO of the Duke University Health System. I recognize, of course, that we must do more to move from a disease treatment model to a model that prioritizes and enables prevention and wellness. So although I believe, of course, in the contribution of healthcare, we must acknowledge that much of this work in health is outside the clinic, in the neighborhood, in the communities, in school, in workplace, and at homes. So the thing that we do at IOM, I believe, through policy, is pretty powerful because it had widespread effects on health of many individuals across the nation and the globe. So we also recognize that IOM must do more to affect change. It takes all of us together, academia, business, government, philanthropy, and communities, to turn the tide so that our children of this generation have a chance to live in good health, healthy and productive lives, and certainly longer than their parents. Now, individuals and communities have incredible power to build healthier families and neighborhoods, and to demand infrastructure, resources, and policies that will support their efforts. With increased awareness of existing options around health, the public, and I say the public, can play a greater role in driving policy change, which is why I'm here today. And I've also begun a listening tour across the country to meet with many people like yourself. I was in San Francisco, met with the San Francisco Healthy Partnership. I was in Boston, certainly I work in Durham and many others. I think it is time for people like us to work closely with you to find ways to improve the health of the nation. So my last 10 years at Duke was transforming for me because it brought back, of course, many of my past when I was a young child in Asia, but also when I saw working close in the community, which is not very big, about 300,000 right around us, I was the largest employer of the community, and I was almost the sole, you know, care provider. Because we quickly realized that, you know, it's not just about accessing to health care, but it's actually improving the social aspects of our community to improve health, the social determinants of health. So we know that, you know, so many factors related to employment, food access, environment, education, and poverty are influencing the health altogether. And I am a strong believer at the end of the day, these are the things we must address, no matter what, in order for us to have a healthier society. So in involving in many, many community initiatives, not as Chancellor or CEO, but as a citizen, my wife and I have been involved in many of them, one of which, in fact, we just launched as a 501c3 called Made in Durham, which is an education system that brings together the CEOs of different businesses around the table, just like we talk about, to work with the public school system to create a curriculum that incorporates work experience. That work experience for the youth from 14 and onwards all the way to community college will enable them to be more employable, enable them to be able to compete for the jobs, and enable CEOs to feel engagement and part of a commitment to their community. And so I'm so happy that this is now moving forward. In fact, I met with we work closely with Public Health Department. We work closely with, in fact, the school system, and I met with the city officials last week and got their commitment for funding towards also raising a lot of private dollars as well. I tell you all that mainly because, you know, our background influenced many things that we do, but also the opportunity to move out of our comfort zone, to work together, to find ways to move this agenda forward. So what I'm telling you today about Health in America is the first time in IOM history, led by my predecessor, Harvey Feinberg, that involved with a nationwide communication effort. It's an initiative to get evidence on health to the public, to the hands of all Americans. That's the idea. So we're living in an age of revolution communications. I wonder how many of you actually use tweet. Show of hands. Okay, at least I use email, right? All right, but you know, what I'm saying is There are so many means of communication. Why are we not using it effectively to influence, to tell each other? I mean, I look at my children and how they communicate, and it's such an effective tool where they can really influence each other. So we recognize that we need to use technology, not just social media, but all technology, which you hear about, to spread our message and to provide health evidence to the public. So, as you can see, several IOM reports have already called to the use of communication technology to reach the public, improve health, including, as you can see, shorter lives and poorer health, and also the future of public health in the 21st century. So we recognize how important and what a potential this area is, and we'll use a variety of innovative communication tools to reach out to communities and individuals. I believe that ensuring access to clear information is a first step in activating change from ground up. I want to say that again. I think it has to be ground up. It's not people sitting there just forming what should be done. It allows people whom policy affects to be involved in policy solutions themselves. That's the purpose of this whole initiative. In the past 2 years, IOM has been working with public good projects. You're going to hear from them, a non-profit media organization behind the successful health information campaign. How many of you have seen the HBO series, The Weight of the Nation? Fantastic. Well, okay, so they are the ones. And so, pretty powerful partnership, isn't it? With IOM and PGP, and of course, maybe APHA as well, right? And I think we create a sustainable public health information and marketing campaign, a Healthy America. Now, in my neck of woods, marketing used to be a word that I get very uncomfortable about, right? But because we recognize, really, it's a means to get the message across. And, you know, so many of us spend so much of our life trying to convince people, but we're not professionals. The professionals know exactly why, you know about Nike, right? Just do it. Right? So I think that's the way things that we have to embrace, to work together to find ways to really get across the message. So I'm very proud of the fact that IOM has been a partner on this important project. It contributed to the establishment and the launch not too long ago. One of my goals for the future of IOM is to do more of those kind of things. In other words, aside from advising, in addition to putting out reports that recommend policy issues, I'd like to see us as an incubator for many great ideas in the health field so that we can help them develop, and then as they launch into real implementable initiatives. And we hope that IOM's involved initiative sends a strong signal to public agencies, public health and healthcare organizations, and to corporations that this isn't another public service campaign. We are committed to ensuring that the messages and campaigns used in Healthy America are based on most rigorous and current evidence, scientific evidence base available. So we're going to put our name behind it. It should be evidence-based. And so you'll be proud of us putting the message out there to the public. So in order to change the negative health trajectory of this country, we must change the culture that we live in. And so we must make living a healthy life a core value, an American value, an expectation rather than a chore or unattainable ideal. We must cultivate the societal structures to support the conditions in which healthy living can be realized. And we must develop a culture of health which will help to advance APHA's efforts to make this healthiest nation, Jerica, in the one generation. Now, all of you can play a role in creating conditions in which we all live in your neighborhood, your towns, among your family, friends, and colleagues. For this initiative to succeed, the public and private sectors must work together, align the interests around the common goal of health. Fortune 100 companies, foundations, public agencies, faith groups, and national and local organizations that work in the front line of, in fact, public health and healthcare. So I hope that a Healthy America, which you hear more about, will engage a wide range of Americans, from business to public, from food industry to media conglomerates to healthcare companies and beyond, and like us, all have a stake in making a healthier America healthier. Now for me, this is the beginning of a long journey. It's the long journey to achieve a healthy America. I certainly believe that communication is an effective tool, but not the only solution. To reach that goal, we require major changes in our culture, as well as social and economic conditions that affect the health of our nation. Not only will we need to drive change through communication, awareness, and education of the public to help individuals to make the right choices, but we must address the social conditions that will improve education, eliminate poverty, and increase access to affordable, healthy food and living. So certainly it is my hope that IOM and Healthy America will influence changes in all these areas by engaging the public to drive societal changes through policy and public-private partnership. Indeed, IOM recognizes we need to partner with many different organizations. And so here I am talking to all of you, but we're of course working with Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the U.S. government as well, so that we can achieve this very ambitious goal of creating a culture of health in this nation. So, the mission of a Healthy America is to catalyze a movement to elevate health in national consciousness, instill the notion of a long, healthy life as a core value in population, and ultimately improve health. I hope you join us. Thank you very much.